Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and bless. Amen. It was a night Steve would never forget. It was rainy. It was dark. He had two beers, but it was over an hour and a half, so he wasn't drunk. He just wasn't paying attention behind the wheel. And the kid seemed to materialize out of nowhere on a skateboard wearing all black. In his mind, he could still hear the sound of the impact and shudder right along with his car. He got out, called 911, stayed at the scene. The paramedics were there within minutes, but there was nothing that they could do. He killed the boy. It was a night he would never forget, and it was soon followed by a day he could never forget either, when he went to net with the mother. Her eyes red from crying it all out. He poured out his remorse. He begged for forgiveness. And she gave it to him. She said, "I am suffering greatly, but I do not wish this on you. I forgive you." And they hugged, and they cried some more, and Steve was never the same again. They say that workplace affairs can be poisonous, but she never listened or even paid attention. And what happened to her started out harmlessly enough. Her boss was a flirt, and she sort of liked it. But something happened. The boundaries were pushed. Subtly and steadily. A careless touch, an embrace that was held maybe a second or two too long. Faces too close when talking on occasion. She was married, and she knew it was wrong, but gosh, it made her feel so young and beautiful again. And he was her boss, a lot younger than her, but handsome and obviously wanted her. And so really, it was probably just a matter of time. And then one night he asked, "Can you stay late and work on this project with me?" And she knew what would happen. And it did. The next day he dumped her. Pretended like she didn't even exist. After all, he had a whole other bunch of conquests in the office. And she didn't know what she felt worse, the bitterness, the remorse, the heartache, or the shame. How could she do this to her marriage? How could she do this to herself? But she felt obligated to tell her husband. She couldn't hide her guilt. So she sat him down, took his hands in hers, and confessed the whole thing. All the while, her head bowed so she didn't have to look and see his hurt or his anger. So that when he did speak, tenderly, quietly, at first she couldn't believe her ears. He said, "I forgive you. I love you. Always love you, no matter what." And when she looked up, she saw a strength in him she'd never seen before. And she would never be the same again. It was harmless high school chatter. That's all it was. You know, the sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me kind of stuff. And it's not like what she said didn't have a grain of truth in it. Jane's friend, Beth, was absolutely weird. And somehow, their being friends in fifth grade meant that they got to hang around with each other every single day now that they're in high school. And that was ruining her reputation. She had to put some distance between them or she'd never be accepted by the popular girls. So one day, right before fifth period, when she was challenged by the others about her her strange friend. She stood up and disavowed any knowledge of a relationship existing at all. Beth is living in the past, she said. I don't even like her anymore, but it's like a bad smell. I hung around it a while and it still lingers. Please try to ignore it and fade away, and maybe she will too. It was a great line, but they all laughed, and she did too. Until she noticed that Beth had been standing behind her the entire time. She heard her gasp. She turned and saw the look of hurt and horror, the tears welling up in her eyes before she turned around and ran off down the hall. The in-crowd girls laughed. But this time Jane didn't. But she didn't go after her either. Less than a week passed by, and she was caught in the halls between classes without a reason to be there and without a pass. And the principal, Mr. Carter, was about to give her some form of detention, and Beth came around the corner, came to arrest her. Oh, there you are. Come on, let's go. And she showed her hall pass, explained to the principal they're on an errand for Mrs. Lee, and they were let go. Thanks, she said when they went around the corner. But I can't believe you helped me after what I said. Jane, I may not be your friend anymore, but I still consider you mine. And she stopped, and a lump formed in her throat. And she said, Beth, can you ever forgive me?
Of course,
I already have. And immediately Jane knew exactly what true friendship was all about. And she was never the same. What a wonderful thing it is to be completely in the wrong, to be 100% at fault, and be forgiven. Now, these stories, I just made them up. I had nothing better to do. But I personally know exactly how each one of those fictional characters feel. Having done something horribly wrong and needing forgiveness. Because my actions once got a friend of mine killed. I was just thinking about myself. I was careless. I was rash. I was foolish. And he died. Now, it happened a long time ago. And I'm still ashamed every time I think about it. I mean, I'd like to say it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was. That it wasn't just me, that others were involved, but not that that's quite true. In fact, a large part of it is the rationalization I've had through these years that it isn't a big deal, but it is. Someone else stepped up and died when it should have been me, in my place. He was nailed to a cross instead of me. And I let him. To this day, I'm glad it was him instead of me. Now, I have to admit, I'm rather grateful that he got what I deserved. And I try to tell him that every single day. I admit that I've sinned against him. And I beg for his forgiveness. And that even hurts me to admit because I still keep sinning every single day. And every single day, he keeps taking my punishment. But I know I'm forgiven. Despite myself. Because of him. And remembering this, every day to a certain extent, should make me never the same again. The first Sunday in November is usually set aside in the church year as All Saints Sunday, when the church recognizes those faithful hearers and doers of the word who live and often die following Jesus Christ as their Lord. It's a good thing to do, but this should not be a them day. It should include us as well. Because we, too, as much as we're sinners, are saints. You see, sometimes I think we get the wrong idea of what a saint is. that it's some goody two-shoes or a Bible know-it-all or a missionary martyr or minister. But I don't believe it's exactly just always that. I believe most of the time saints are just ordinary people like us who know they've been forgiven, who go through lives and realize that they've done something very, very wrong and have been forgiven that, and it challenges them, it motivates them, it changes them. In the New Testament, it happens all the time. Peter, Paul, James, Mary Magdalene, they're all saints because Jesus forgave them. Their lives are turned around, they're metanoia, if you will, and they are never the same again because Jesus forgave them. They did wonderful, powerful things because wonderful, powerful things happened to them. Forgiveness. Undeserved forgiveness. And that's why Jesus is always trying to make it clear that he forgives sins. Even when he heals somebody, he says, go, your faith has made you well. That's how saints are made. They're forgiven. And realizing that they're forgiven, they forgive others. Now I see two implications about this. One negative and one positive. On the negative side, I think we all just assume Jesus forgives sins. That's his job. He forgives us. But we don't feel it. I mean, not really. At least not enough to do us or the world a lot of good. Let me ask you. When I included myself in the fourth forgiven story, how many of you are thinking, ooh, what did he do? You know? I mean, he was a rowdy guy in high school, and he was in the military, and I was like, what was it? Ah! And then actually get disappointed, oh, he's just talking about Jesus. That shouldn't be. We don't mean to, but every time we treat it that way, we trivialize what Jesus has done for us, that he died for us. We cheapen it. Every time we fail to take our own sin seriously, or just assume, well, others are worse than I am, they need that more. I think there would be a lot more saints in this world if more Christians took a good look in the mirror and came face to face with the magnitude of their sin and the magnitude of God forgiving it all. Now, I'm not saying going out there and fake your contrition or just pretend it's a big deal or mope around and look sad. Simply realize that every time that you hurt somebody, every time you don't go out of the way to show God's love to somebody, God takes that personally. He looks down and he's disappointed in you. He's ashamed of you. But still, he lets his son die in your place. But there's a positive side to this spin, too. And it's a game changer. If you think about it, if forgiveness does change things, make lives completely different, if it can make people never feel the same way again, that means each of us here today have the power to go out of those doors and make saints out of other people. Just by forgiving them. Just by letting go of our anger and hate and hurt, and saying, I forgive you to someone who's hurt us. Is there someone who's done that? Who's a threat to you? Who antagonizes you? Despises you? What do you think would happen if you went out there and forgave him from the heart? If you told her, it is no big deal because I love you and I've been loved. And what if they knew that you were only forgiving them because you knew how much you were forgiven? Think that might change their world? Maybe not right away. Maybe not dramatically. Maybe not in every circumstance. I tell you, it will change things for you in your coping and in your hoping. And if it changes in you, it'll change things in your world, such as it is. There is no better way to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ than by forgiving someone from the heart. There's no more difficult way, but no more effective way than that. Even if the only one getting that message is you. After all, is that what we pray is going to happen? Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. What a great way to celebrate All Saints Sunday, by going out there and making more of them. Forgive. You'll find you'll never be the same again. And now that the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.